Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this Memorial Day edition of the podcast. As we get to this Memorial Day weekend, of course, the start of summer and all of that. But what it's really all about is remember thanks for those who gave their lives in various wars that our nation has been involved with in order that we might experience the freedom to have a hamburger, to have a hot dog, to have a vegan hamburger, if you'd like, whatever is your choice on this Memorial Day weekend, to be able to live in freedom, to be able to have freedom to worship, to be able to live and enjoy the liberty we have ordered, hopefully, under the morality that God has given to us, but to be able to live in freedom as a free people, not only here in the United States, but as our military has served all around the world, as we'll talk about in a moment. We have, by the presence of our military around the world, given more people the opportunity for freedom than ever in the history of the world. So the sacrifices of the men and women of the United States military are first and foremost on our minds this weekend, Memorial Day. So I want to do a little bit of a history of Memorial Day, some trivia of things of Memorial Day that you did not know about it, and then kind of go through a log of the numbers of people. Over a million have died in the service of our country. And so I want to go through a log of those and kind of make some comments about that as we pause to give thanks for that ultimate sacrifice that so many have made on our behalf. First of all, Memorial Day is different from Veterans Day. Veterans Day happens in the fall. Memorial Day happens here at the end of spring, early summer. Veterans Day is when we give a particular honor to those who are still living, who are veterans among us, and the debt that we owe them. I always personally feel in awe whenever I meet someone who served in the military. I feel like I'm with someone. I'm out of my league when I'm with the folks that have served in the military. They have a special camaraderie with one another, and a special sacrifice that they have made, whether still living or dying for our nation. The sacrifices that they and their families have made just leave me in awe and in wonder. And I have to say, frankly, get a little nervous around people who served in the military because I am in such awe of those who have served. That's Veterans Day. Memorial Day in the spring here at the end of May is the day designated to remember those who have paid the ultimate price, given their lives for my sake and for the sake of our country. Memorial Day began right after the Civil War. It was originally called Decoration Day. And the first Memorial Day, the first Decoration Day, was on May the 30th, 1868. The springtime was chosen because the flowers were in bloom. And so it was a good opportunity, availability, to be able to decorate the graves of those who had died, particularly in the Civil War. Surprising to me, Memorial Day did not become an official federal holiday until 1971. So we're talking 53 years ago, it became a federal holiday officially, 1971. And of course, what was going on in 1971 was the Vietnam War. And so potentially, I didn't go back and look at all the history of the congressional debates and all that sort of thing. But my guess is that the Vietnam War played a big part in Memorial Day becoming a federal holiday in 1971. Hopefully, you have a flag that you can fly on Memorial Day and many other days of the year to show your support, your love for our nation, the gift of God to us, the United States of America. But on Memorial Day, if you have a flagpole of a certain size, the flag should be flown at half staff from sunrise until noon on Memorial Day. So if you are out and about driving around and you see flags flying at half staff on Memorial Day in the morning, you'll know that's why that is. Also, there was in the year 2000, a National Moment of Remembrance Act in the year 2000 that designated 3 p.m. as a time for prayer and reflection. I presume 3 p.m. wherever you are in the United States or around the world. Of course, we don't have to wait till 3 o'clock to pray. We can pray anytime, day or night. Our Heavenly Father is listening. And so encourage you to be remembering our nation, remembering those who have fallen in prayer throughout the day on Memorial Day, as well as, of course, many other days of the year. We owe a debt to those people, not just on one day, but on every day. Now, let's go kind of through some figures, some facts and figures of how many that have died. And the sense is, here's kind of the, and of course, some of these numbers are not exactly entirely accurate to the person, but about 650,000 throughout our nation's history have died in battle. And another 540,000 have died from non-combat related causes, be that disease, accidents, non-hostile incidents, whatever it might be. So the total of those serving in the military that have died is well over a million. Let's take a look, if we can, for a minute at just some numbers here. If you're watching online, you can see the numbers. If you're not, you can certainly listen. But we'll go from the wars in which the greatest number were killed down to wars in which the least were killed, although every life is certainly precious. So the war that saw the greatest number of deaths in the United States was the Civil War, for sure. The Civil War, 600,000 plus died. Some historians believe it could be as high as 750,000 died in that war. So a huge number of fatalities. Of course, not all of them in battle. Many of them died from disease. That was true really all the way through up until the 20th century. Then fewer and fewer began to die of disease. But nevertheless, prior to the 20th century in particular, a lot of military deaths were from disease as well as from combat. So 600,000 plus in the Civil War. World War II, 400,000. And World War I, 115,000. So it seems like a lot less than World War I. It is a lot less than World War I. But know this, that the ratio of those who served to those who died was about the same from World War I and World War II. About one out of every 40 that served died in those wars. We obviously had a lot more people serving in World War II, in part because we had the European theater, and then we had the Pacific theater as well. Vietnam War, that was the first war in my personal memory. 58,000 died in the Vietnam War. And so because it was a war that was in my personal memory, I was in elementary school during the Vietnam War. It was moving for me to go and to see the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C. Of course, there's other memorials there as well that are very moving, but the Vietnam War one in particular is very powerful, very moving. If you've been there and seen that, just a quiet place of people remembering, because in part, so many are still alive who have relatives who died, brothers and sisters and husbands and wives who may have died in the Vietnam War, children going to see their parents and their parents' names etched on that wall. So a very powerful moment of remembrance for the Vietnam War at the Vietnam War Memorial in D.C. The Korean War, 36,000 died in the Korean War. Wasn't officially declared a war, conflict, but nevertheless, an opportunity for those people to serve and to bless the people of what came to be South Korea. And of course, there's famous pictures today at night, pictures of South and North Korea together. The war was between the South and the North. And South Korea, a booming economy, a free nation, and North Korea, the largest gulag that exists in the world right now, those poor, poor people who live in North Korea. And so you'll see these pictures at night where North Korea is just blackened out, no lights. And South Korea is awash in lights, demonstrating the freedom that those South Korean people enjoy. And in part, they enjoy it because those 36,000 Americans gave their lives so that those Koreans could be free. Powerful, powerful pictures and a powerful remembrance for those who served in the Korean War who are yet still with us. Some World War II vets still with us, more Korean War vets, and of course, Vietnam War vets still with us. The next war, in terms of the numbers of people that died, is the American Revolutionary War. And because it was so long ago, I'll pause for a moment to see if you can guess the year that we declared independence. Do you know the year we declared independence from Great Britain? 1776. Hopefully you guessed it right. But the Revolutionary War then in the 18th century, we don't have nearly the accuracy of numbers. So somewhere between 4,500 and 7,000 died on the American side in the Revolutionary War, but 17,000, so what would that be? Two and a half times as many, or three times as many, died from disease in that war. So it was just as dangerous, more dangerous, to be sitting around in camp waiting for battle than it was to go into battle in the Revolutionary War. Next comes the War on Terror, so-called, since 2001 up to the present. And there's been about 7,000 or so, depending on how you define all of that, but about 7,000 died in the War on Terror. And of course, many of us know people that were involved in that war, have been sent to Iraq, Afghanistan, have served in various areas in that war. And it's not only, of course, those who've died who pay the great price, but oftentimes those who return pay a great price as well in terms of their ability to function again in society after the things that they experienced and the things that they've gone through. And our real focus is, as I said before, on those men and women on Veterans Day. But nevertheless, certainly does no harm to pray for those who've returned on Memorial Day as well. Just as an aside, before I get to the Persian Gulf War, because there is a current war going on between Israel and Hamas, and there is a lot of demonstrations in the United States and around the world because of the number of children that have been killed in Gaza in that war. And there's this sense, perhaps among some, that Israel has just gone in there and wantonly killed children and women in that war. In the War on Terror in Afghanistan, about one-third of the casualties, the total casualties, about one-third were children. That's the estimates in the War on Terror, specifically when we were fighting in Afghanistan. When the United States was fighting in Afghanistan, about one-third of the casualties were children. So it shouldn't really come as a shock then that about a quarter of the casualties in Gaza are children. Gaza is a much smaller area. You might expect even more children to have been killed in the midst of that fray, that fighting, especially when Hamas uses women and children as human shields. So what did we learn from all that? We learned that, I learned that we should have some patience with what Israel is doing in Gaza at the moment. If I expect the same patience in return for what we did in Afghanistan, but also learn that war is a horrible thing. Wars should only be fought as a last resort, for sure. And only when evil people are absolutely determined to destroy the innocent, that's when you go to war, is to avoid that kind of thing. So some lessons there from our War on Terror. Finally, the Persian Gulf War. I know people, you probably do too, who have served in the Persian Gulf War. So about 250 died in the Persian Gulf War. That was a very quick war, with a huge coalition put together by George H.W. Bush, by President Bush at the time. Not George W., but George H.W., his father, put together this huge coalition. The war was over pretty quickly, and yet even then, 250 American troops died in that war, and others were injured, returned home, and experienced great difficulties. So bottom line, on this Memorial Day, we want to pause and remember and give thanks for the sacrifices of men and women who've gone before us. Sometimes men and women who are our brothers and sisters, husbands, wives, that you may know, friends, people live down the street from you, people in your church, who served and paid the ultimate price, gave their lives and sacrifice for others, that we might live in freedom. And they are, to a person, a reminder of the one who paid the ultimate sacrifice so that the whole world might be free, only by faith and trust in that sacrifice. And of course, I'm talking about the sacrifice of Jesus. Each of those who sacrificed themselves in the United States military kind of points us in their sacrificial love, points us to the sacrificial love of Jesus. The love of Jesus who gave his life so that you and I might be free, free from sin, free to live forever in glory with him. And so we give thanks also for Jesus on this Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Kind of a solemn podcast, but a podcast where we give thanks. And we rejoice at those who were willing to pay the price for us so that we might be free. Write us, if you would, at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts about Memorial Day, how you celebrate Memorial Day with your friends and family. Hopefully it includes some remembering of those who gave their lives. Remember that those who trust in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for joining us on this Eagles on the Hill podcast today.